Everyone who is part of the Covenant family knows how much I love that song. It's the Song of the Herald. It speaks of the mission that Yahweh asked me to pursue on behalf of his people, beginning almost 23 years ago. It was, until yesterday, my favorite song. I heard yesterday a song that surpassed it, one with many layers of meaning on the surface it was written to Leah, but that's really only on the surface. It is based on a series of four mizmor that speak ultimately of Dod, then of his herald, and then of Leah as the mother of Yisrael and what is in store for her. And so this evening, what we're going to do is I'm going to share my translation of the four psalms from which this song was inspired, so that you have the background for it. These translations are, as they say, fresh off the press. I completed the last of them, the last word of the last of them, about 2.5 minutes ago. So if I seem a bit less prepared than normal, I've had no opportunity to think about them, but other than to have translated them. So we're going to go through them with fresh eyes together.
Wonderful. Now,
this is not all that uncommon for us. More than half of the programs over the last few months have been totally extemporaneous, where we have introduced them and then pursued the thought on behalf of Yahweh and Yisrael. Tonight, we're going to pursue those four psalms. Then we're going to hear from both the author and voice of that song, and also of the subject, from the subject of the song, the woman she wrote it to. So let's begin. We're going to start with the 110th, then go to the 111th, then skip to the 113th and 114th Mizmor. The 110th reads, a psalm, a poetic song, which is telling, isn't it, in that we were introduced with a song, and we're doing tonight's program about a song. So it's a song, words set to melody, regarding God, the beloved. Yahweh prophetically announced in advance of it occurring, concerning the approach of my Lord and my upright one, you have chosen of your own accord to actually dwell at my right side, as my right hand, as an eternal witness to the restoring testimony. I will place your enemies and those who discount you as your footstool. This psalm was not written by God, it was written to God. And the person who wrote it is likely Nathan, who would have appropriately referred to his king as my Lord, my upright one, Adol. And what he said is that Yahweh has announced in advance of it occurring. And Nathan, more than anyone, was in a position to know what Yahweh was saying about God, because he is the conduit for what I think may be the single most important prophecy ever delivered. It's found in the second book of Samuel. Listen to him in the 7th chapter. I've shared it many times on this program. It is about homes and who builds them. It is about kings and how they will reign. It is about fathers and sons. And so this is likely God being spoken of by a man who respected him and dearly loved him and who knew Yahweh's thoughts about him. And he begins by saying that Yahweh has announced that as it relates to my upright one, the king, that you have chosen of your own accord to dwell at my right side as my right hand, as an eternal witness to the restoring testimony. I will place your enemies and those who discount you as your footstool. This is important because there is no man in human history who has done as much for us or who has had what he has done discounted as severely as his God. The God of the most popular religion in human history is nothing but a counterfeit of God. Jesus Christ is a poor man's misnomer. He is a caricature, a fable, based on stealing what belongs to God, the actual Messiah and Son of God, our Savior. And Yahweh is none too pleased about it. And those who have advanced these schemes, this replacement foolology to counterfeit God, are going to be a footstool tread under foot of God. Yahweh dispatches and extends from Zion the signs posted along the way. That is the ridge line between God's home and Yahweh. The mighty scepter, your fortified staff, and your strengthened spear. God, as the king of Israel, held the scepter. He, as the shepherd of God's people, held the staff. And he is the defender of the flock, was strengthened by a spear. For you to choose to rule over, dominating and subduing your foes, who are in open hostility to your status and opposed to your position, fighting them. 2,000 years has come and gone since God served as the Passover lamb and fulfilled matzah, offering his people eternal life and perfection so that they could be adopted into the covenant family and come home. And for 2,000 years, his own people have denied him. And Gentiles, under the curses of both Christianity and Islam, have completely rejected him. Well, that is not going to be so very much longer. And we are making a tremendous difference in this battle. So the Yahweh's position relative to Dode, so that the message of those signs posted along the way is known. And so that we might know who holds the scepter, the staff, and the spear. Your people will be free and abundantly enriched, willing and able on the day, associated with the beautiful appearance and uncommon splendor, the uniquely majestic and honorable manifestation of your physical prowess, exceptional qualifications, noble character, and unique ability. For those people, Yisrael and Yehudim, to be enriched by Dode on any day, to be associated with and to appear before his arrival, to see his uncommon splendor, to be associated with his majestic and honorable nature, they are going to have to shed their ignorance. They're going to have to walk away from Judaism and progressive politics. And that remnant who will witness the physical prowess and exceptional qualifications, the noble character and unique abilities of those to be manifest before their eyes will be in Jerusalem as the sun sets on October 2nd, 2033. It is the day of reconciliation when our Messiah, the Son of God, and our King returns. From the womb and in love, showing compassion of a mother, your light will dawn, approaching the prosperity and abundance of your youth. We know nothing of those mothers. It's a man that is renowned for three lives. The life of Messiah, sender of his people, the uniter and defender of his people, the great prophet. The life as the sacrificial lamb and the one who fulfills Masa and Bikurim. And the life of our returning king. And in no case, even with three lives, do we know anything of Dode's mother? We know his great-great-grandmother was Ruth, an extraordinary woman. And so this mother, who is responsible for finding Dode in the room, for loving Dode, for showing the compassion of a mother toward Dode, is a set-apart spirit who came upon him when he was 8 years old and never left.
Yes.
It is how his light will dawn as he approaches in great abundance, as it occurred in his youth 3,000 years ago. Yahweh has sworn an oath, having made a solemn promise, and he will never change it. Say goodbye to Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The one man that Yahweh swore an oath to, the one man to whom he made a solemn promise, the one person that he said, I will never change anything I have said about him, is his beloved firstborn son, Dode, the Messiah and King. And that means there can be no replacement philology, and without it, there is no Christianity. That means that the basis of rabbinical Judaism, as it was conceived by Rabbi Akiba and his place replacement, Messiah, the very origin of your star, Israel, is not to be. This reads, you are a royal advisor and supreme leader, adorned in priestly fashion forever. With regard to the words of Melchizedek, my rightful king. God is the ultimate leader, but when he returns, he will be adorned in priestly fashion. We know this because of what was written in Zechariah, when he is given the cleansed and perfected headgear and wardrobe of the high priest. And you might say, why do that? Because the Torah is very explicit as it relates to what is to occur on Yom Kippurim. And what's to occur is the Kippurah, the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, must be anointed. The blood of a bull and with a goat. And it's described in quite detail, and why Aaron was asked to do these things to reconcile the relationship between Yahweh and the people. Goat is going to perform that because there can be no reconciliation unless we adhere to the guidance of the Torah. All of the mitzvah are fulfilled in accordance with the Torah. And indeed, though David is the rightful and vindicating king, Tzedak, he is correct. Now, this statement is reminiscent of two others, one from the 89th Mizmor, the other from, as I mentioned, Zechariah 3, as it relates to the never-ending promise. Here are those references. It says, I have established cutting through separation, the Bereshit covenant for the family and home, through Ani Bahar, my chosen one, the one I prefer and have decided upon. I have sworn an oath, and I will affirm this promise 7 times over to Dod, the beloved, Ebed Ani, my authorized agent and co-worker who serves on my behalf. Furthermore, as Ad Olam, an eternal witness to the restoring testimony, I will prepare and establish your offspring and that which you sow. In addition, I will construct a home for your throne and your seat of honor on behalf of all generations and throughout all time. Pause now and contemplate the implications. Here now is my personal favorite. Accordingly, my unwavering love, enduring devotion, unmitigated favoritism, affection, and generosity, I will never remove from him or withdraw from being with him, because I will never communicate something which is not true, nor will I ever contradict my steadfast commitment to the truth. I will never dishonor or betray Bereth Ani, my covenant family. Nor will I ever alter, disguise, or change that which has gone forth from my lips. Echad, there is only one to whom I have affirmed the truth by having made a promise affirmed 7 times over by Kodesh Ani, my uniquely set apart nature. If not to, and regarding God, the beloved, I will be proven a liar.
Clear.
That, my friends, is not only clear, it is the essence of the covenant relationship and how we participate in it. It is the death knell of Judaism, Christianity. Islam already killed itself 1,000 times over, so it doesn't need any more deaths. As a death cult, that is enough already. But let's be clear. Yahweh made his promise to Dod. He is not withdrawing any of those promises, God is therefore the Messiah. God is therefore the Son of God. God is therefore the Zeruah, the sacrificial lamb. He is the returning king. Changes everything. It reinforces everything. Exceedingly powerful.
Yes.
As for God also serving in the role of a high priest upon his return to anoint the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant on Yom Kippurim, Yahweh dressed down Yosha to dress up God. Please listen. Yosha, as the high priest, you and your loud-mouthed associates, including those who have inhabited this office before you, are individually symbolic, because indeed, behold, I myself will return and bring my co-worker, the branch. Pay attention, because the stone, which for the benefit of the relationship, I have placed before Yosha, there are seven eyes representing insightful promises on that single stone. Look and see. I myself will openly engrave its inscription, prophetically declares Yahweh of the spiritual implements. Then I will remove the perversity and depravity of those in this land in a single day. The high priest that is dressed up and cleansed, prepared to anoint the mercy seat, the Kapporas of the Ark of the Covenant on Yom Kippurim. Mercy seat, Kapporas, and Kippurim are based on the same word. Reconciliation. On that day is the branch, the Shemot. It is the most commonly repeated title for God. The tenth Mizmor continues, and we read, my Lord and my upright one, this is Nathan speaking of God, his king, at your right side and as your right hand, he will strike and actually shatter during this time of the king's wrath. He will execute judgment to defend and to accuse among the Goyim, the Gentile nations, filling them with corpses. He will strike, mortally wounding the leaders of the greatest nations. Should you think that Yahweh moved his HQ from Jerusalem to Mecca, or to the Vatican, or to Washington, you'd be wrong. Yahweh's loyalty is for Yisrael. His home has been and will always be in Jerusalem. His son is God. And he is going to eliminate all of the Gentiles who sought to usurp the Messiah's credibility. And was it not Paul who announced that he was the apostle for the uncircumcised, for the Gentiles, for the Romans and the Greeks. And that it was his agenda, this myth of replacement foolology, to rob God of his dignity so that he could elevate and offer credibility to his counterfeit, Jesus Christ. So, this is Yahweh's response. You think that you gain eternal life by robbing my son? No. It is a guarantee of death, which is as it should be. That's Mizmor 110. Mizmor 111 reads, Mizmor 111 reads, Hallelujah. I have chosen to express my appreciation to Yahweh entirely, emotionally, and cerebrally, confiding in the trustworthy counsel and the intimate fellowship of the upright and straightforward, and of the eternal witness to the restoring testimony. Greatly important and of vital significance are the workers who serve Yahweh. They are sought after and petitioned, consulted and known for their teaching by all who are willing and who openly take pleasure in them and who are favored by them. Authorized and glorious, even of the highest quality, is his work, and his honesty and integrity, sense of justice, and appreciation for what is right, and for what is vindicating, will stand forever as a restoring witness. In this case, God is speaking to Yahweh about how he's going to confide in and enjoy the trustworthy counsel and fellowship not only of the upright and straightforward, but of the eternal witness to the restoring testimony. And then God is extolling that testimony, saying that it is greatly important and of vital significance, as are the workers who serve with Yahweh. I can name them, and they know who they are, because they make all of this possible, and they're being acknowledged here by our King before his God. They are sought after, and they are petitioned, consulted, and known for their teaching by all who are willing and who openly take pleasure in them and are favored by them. That's a pretty marvelous introduction to the song you wrote, see?
Yes. Yeah.
Authorized and glorious, even of the highest quality, is his work. And his honesty and integrity, sense of justice and appreciation for what is right and for what is vindicating, will stand forever as a restoring witness. I don't think God is speaking of God. Pretty obvious to me that he's speaking of the covenant family and of their leader.
Yes.
Of the one who was chosen to convey work which God and Yahweh view as being of the highest quality, ennobled and dignified, honest, showing integrity, with a sense of justice and appreciation for what is right, and therefore vindicating. And he says that it will stand forever as restoring testimony and an eternal witness. He has engaged and acted, working such that his exceptional, uniquely astounding, marvelous and fulfilling, especially wonderful achievements will be remembered. It's not only Yahweh who is appreciative of what his co-workers achieve on behalf of his people, like father loves son. Yahweh is generous and compassionate, especially kind to those he favors. He is loving and loyal. He offers to nourish, providing food for those who respect him, always mentioning and forever remembering his covenant family. He has explained and announced the power and the authority of his work and his accomplishments to his people, to offer and bestow to them the inheritance of the nations, including the property and land of the Gentiles. The works and labors of his hands are reliable and trustworthy, certain and true, right and enduring. His directions and his instructions are established and supported, even sustained as correct and credible. They are upheld and steadfastly sustained forever as a restoring witness throughout all time. This is all to be engaged in and acted upon dependably because what has been said is true. It is correct and straightforward on the level and right. He has set forth to dispatch the reconciling and redemptive meeting, this time to be received on behalf of the family, as he has provided this everlasting instruction regarding his covenant family. Set apart and awesome is his name. It all begins by respecting the wisdom and the capacity to understand Yahweh with productive and pleasing, valuable and beneficial insights shared with everyone who engages by acting upon them. May his enlightenment shine forth, present and enduring, as a restoring witness forevermore. Mizmor 110, 1 through 10. I am overwhelmed by that, and
yes.
it was what I finished translating. I translated the 114th first, then the 113th, then the 110th, and lastly the 111th. It is overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
But it speaks very clearly of the fact that Yahweh and his son Dod are exceedingly pleased with what we have done. That he sees the contribution of all of us, and he is endorsing it, saying that this is the message that his people need to hear. It will provide them with restoration, the inheritance they desire. It should be acted upon, engaged in, trusted. Hallelujah, O co-workers of Yahweh. Choose to be radiant and shine, cheerfully conveying the light from the source, boasting even in its brilliance, proud of being enlightened. In the name of Yahweh, shine your light and radiate clear and brilliant enlightenment and insight, seen in the excellence of it all. 113.1. Commended, and extolled as a blessing, lifted up and favorably invoked, was, is, and will always be the name of Yahweh, from this moment and forevermore, as a restoring witness. From the rising of the sun in the east as far as its departure and setting, radiates the brilliant light associated with the name of Yahweh. The name of the website is yadayah.com. The name of on all of the books, all 33 of them on the shelf, is Yadayah, means to know Yahweh. The greatest gift that we have offered God's people is the correct pronunciation of Yahweh's name and the insistence that it be known and used, proclaimed, and accepted. We were the first in over 2,000 years to explain its pronunciation, to herald its importance. And so all of this is tangentially addressing what we have done. And I will tell you, because it's going to come up later, when it comes to Yahweh, I am protective. That is a name that was unknown prior to me explaining its correct pronunciation, proving its correct pronunciation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so anyone who uses it must use it in a manner that is consistent with this mission, with knowing what Yahweh is offering and expecting in return, and valuing and appreciating his son, the Messiah, who served as our Savior. You are free to do whatever you want on your own. But the moment you include Yahweh's name in what you are doing, you are no longer free to do whatever you want. On your own initiative, once again, you don't have to be consistent or a team player with the message we're conveying. It would be nice if you were. It would be beneficial if you were. But if you are not, then no. It is grossly inappropriate for you to use any of the terms, insights, or transliterations that have been made available through these 33 books over the past 23 years in these programs to promote something that is inconsistent or something that is your own priority. Because it's not just Yahweh's name. It's not just Dod and what Dod represents. It's also the covenant itself, which is what the previous Mizmor focused upon. No one, not in the last 2,500 years, has spoken of the importance of the covenant as have we. Yahweh is high above every nation and all Gentiles. His glorious presence, power, and reward is over and above the heavens. Who is like Yahweh, our God, who dwells on high, the one who looks down humbly on the heavens and the earth? It's an interesting perspective. What that is telling us is this great universe that is some 93 billion light years across, mm-hmm. that has hundreds of billions of galaxies with hundreds of billions of stars in each of them, is something that Yahweh is above and beyond. He created it from a dimension that exceeds the sixth of this universe. And yet he is humble, and he looks down over all that he has conceived, including his covenant family.
Wow.
He takes a stand to raise, to encourage, and to restore. He stands up for and lifts up by opening the door from the material realm, from the pile of trash and worthless garbage, taking a stand to lift up and raise the Ibonim, who are accepting and willing. Ebion, those who consent and are agreeable, remember that name. They are essential to what can be known by the only contemporary witnesses to the fulfillment of Pesach, Matzah, and Bechorah. It had been my conclusion for some time that Dod's 22nd and 88th Mizmor and Yahshayah's chapter 53 were the only eyewitness accounts of what occurred on Pesach, Matzah, and Bechorah. And indeed they are. But the Ebonim, these individuals who were accepting of those and willing to express what they had come to know, are the ones who recorded what is known as the Sermon on the Mount and the Olivet, none of which would be known apart from them. This is an extraordinary word, name, to find here, because this is how they refer to themselves. The Ebonim, who are accepting and willing so that they can live with me and with the leaders who are the most deserving and willing, with the most noble, respected, and dignified volunteers of his people and family. 1 Kings 7. I'll read that again. He takes a stand to raise, encourage, and to restore by opening the door from the material realm, from what is essentially a pile of trash and worthless garbage today, taking a stand to lift up and raise the ebon, those who are accepting and who are willing, who consent and are agreeable, so that they can live with me and with the leaders who are the most deserving and willing, with the most noble, respected, and dignified volunteers of his people and family. He restores and renews the barren woman as the mother of a family of rejoicing children. Hallelujah. That was the closing line of the 113th Mizmor that my wife read and cried and then laughed and then shared with her sister Dee.
Yeah.
And it reads, after all of those profound insights, he restores and renews the barren woman as the mother of the family of rejoicing children. Yisrael, you have been barren for 3,000 years. You even deny the beauty and the love of the woman who is the mother of Yisrael, Leah. And here, Yahweh restores and renews the barren woman. She is the mother of the family. And now her children are rejoicing. Hallelujah. 113:8. Here is the 114th. But this, my job today, other than to share a letter, will be done. With Yisrael, when Yisrael, there need to be individuals who struggle and strive against the Almighty, or those who engage and endure with God, were brought out from Mitzrayim, the crucibles of religious and political oppression, of troubles and confinement. The house and family of Yaakov, from a powerful nation with a foreign tongue, Yehudah, was set apart with Yisrael serving, with Yisrael becoming his to govern, to rule over, expressing his authority. So this is saying, reinforcing, that Yisrael was brought out from the crucibles of human oppression. It was the family and the home of Yaakov, who is the husband of that barren woman, who is giving birth now to rejoicing children. They were brought out from what was a powerful nation, speaking a foreign tongue, and when that occurred, it was Yehudah that was set apart for him. And Yisrael was his to distinguish, empower, govern, and rule, expressing his authority. When that occurs, Yahweh says, the sea will look and retreat. The sea is a synonym for Gentiles, those apart from the land. The sea will look and will retreat. The Yarden, the Jordan, which means that which descends, will turn around and flow the other way. The mountains will skip about and leap like rams. The hills, like a flock of lambs. What is with you, O sea, those estranged from Yisrael, that you flee and are gone? O Jordan, that you have turned around and have reversed course? Mountains, that you are skipping and leaping and dancing like rams, and hills like a flock of lambs? You should want to be noble and strong, showing the capacity to endure the tribulation while giving birth at the presence of the upright one. O land and earth, at the appearance of the God of Israel. These are all tied together. The barren woman, she becomes a mother of joyful children, and she is noble and strong. She has the capacity to all that she has endured and been through to give birth in the midst of all of this, the time of Jacob's trouble. She will have a joyful family. And this will occur in the land at the appearance of the God of Israel. He is the one who transforms the sharp crag into a pool of warm water all aglow. The hardest material to crack, which rejuvenates into fountains of water, which are seen to restore life. Crag is an inside joke with between you and myself. My name is Celtic for crag, and so you find it in the strangest places. Where, you know, I was saying, okay, you may be a bit sharp tongued. But what you've had to say that is so biting and sharp is going to be transformed into a pool of inviting and warm water all aglow. Mm. And the hardest of all to crack will provide rejuvenation with fountains of waters which are seen to restore life. Well, that family are the four Mizmor that I was asked to translate today. Normally that would be a full day's work, but I do have a day job. My day job is completing the restoration of the 33 books on the shelf at Yada Yah. It is interesting that to be part of this mission, one has to be exceedingly humble, such that we are willing to admit when what we have written needs to be corrected, and we go about it. Mm-hmm. I have devoted almost half of my time over the past 23 years to augmenting, based upon what I have learned, correcting, based upon what we have discovered, the books that comprise Yada Yada. This job is that of a witness. It is not that of a prophet. If it was a prophet, then everything that I would have said would have been perfectly correct from the beginning. But that is not what Yahweh wanted. What Yahweh wanted when he chose a goy to serve as this secondary branch, this succot that restores the fallen trunk and rootstock of Israel, was to demonstrate that everything his people needed to know to restore the relationship was there for them all of the time. And if a man with no linguistic training, a man whose career was in business, could devote the last 23 years of his life to go where the words led, to figure it out, to understand what Yahweh was offering and expecting in return to be part of the covenant, to understand how the Moed Mikre fulfill the benefits of the covenant, to understand the role that Dod as the Messiah and Son of God played to enable those promises. If Yahweh could demonstrate that this man could figure it out based upon what has always been there, then there would be two tremendous advantages. One, Yahweh could affirm that what he has said was always sufficient. That he has always been restoring. That he has always desired the reconciliation of the relationship with his people. And that he has delineated the means to that process and that desired result. But because everything that we have learned and shared is a direct result of correctly translating the words that Yahweh shared with us from the oldest extant sources, everything that we have concluded is verifiable. It's how Kirk became part of this family. He listened to my translations and then began to read them, and because I provided the most genitive form of every Hebrew word that we were rendering in the text, he could look them up and validate that that's what they mean. Most recent result is a glossary. The verbs are now all presented, and I think we have a team transforming Mr. Analog into digital so that other forms of speech are also available on the internet. With either that or take a picture of Kirk's handwriting, which is quite attractive, I will tell you, as an artist.
Yeah.
So that was the reason that we have been encouraged to learn, and learning is a process. It is coming to understand as a result of coming to know and then making the proper connections so that we comprehend what God has shared. And as a result, in these 33 books, there are more than 1,000 unique insights that have never been heralded previously. That's the first time they've ever been shared and explained. And this is a result of being a witness, of being the crag that Yahweh calls Yada, one who knows, comes to appreciate and understand. So this is where we were led through the Mizmor. At this point, Dee, would you like me to play the song, and then do you and sure. Leah want to speak about it? And what is the order again? Is it you or Leah first? Dee,
I'm going to go first, okay. And then we'll play it, and then Leah will go after that.
Okay.
And I have questions before we move on. Is it possible that this rocky crag that brings forth water is a nod to the rock at Meribah?
Yes and no. Yes,
okay.
The waters of Meribah are the saddest story in the history of sad stories during the Exodus where God's people were irascible. And it is the one place where Moshe did something that he was asked not to do. He struck the rock as opposed to speak to it. But there's no indication that that rock was a jagged crack.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah. So is it possible? Yes, there's always double meaning. Rich multiple layers of meaning in everything that Yahweh conveys. But even when Moshe struck the rock, crystal clear and cool waters came out. Agam, Mayam, speaks of a pool of warm water that's all aglow. So there were no pools. The water was not warm. It was not aglow at that time. This is really a contrast in the sharpness, the acerbic nature of this man that Yahweh likes to call Krog. And he's transforming that into a pool of warm and inviting water that's all aglow. The hardest one to crack is when you be into 1,000 waters. God has a sense of humor. I represent that statement. All right. So, do you want to see the song and then I'm going to play it?
Yes. Okay, so I'll start out by telling you all that it took some doing to who convinced me to share this private song that we're about to play. I wrote it in a state of nostalgia for all that my friend and I, and, you know, there's many people along the way who have joined in this, but particularly Leia and myself, all that we have been through over the past 10 years, reflecting on where we began and where we are now, particularly where she started. Because when you read these mizmor about the barren woman and all that Israel represents, that story is somewhat echoed in her own life. So I thought about when she had stayed with me for a while, and she cried on my shoulder that she would never be loved and never have children, and how lonely she was always going to be, as she was going through one of the worst times in her life. And she questioned herself in these dark moments, as we have all done. I think everyone in the covenant can relate to asking themselves, do we really make it? Why us? What is it that Yahweh sees in us when we can't see anything worthwhile in ourselves? And she tried to never
We all come in broken.
Yeah.
And being broken and surviving it is what builds character.
Right.
It would give you fortitude to know that you can survive no matter what comes your way. And it is the way that Yahweh likes us. He likes us to come in having scars and cracks and having have fought and lost and gotten up again and have enduring many battles. So
yes, sir,
this is common
to endure. Yes. And particularly she was crying at that time about how she had never brought a single soul to Yahweh. And she was devastated about that. And, you know, I was thinking as I read these mizmor, which had not been translated by Yahweh at that time, that people said some really terrible things about her, about me. I didn't care about what they said then. I never did, don't know. But I do remember what they said. And I know that there have been days when both of us have questioned ourselves and wondered if there was truth to some of the evil things that people have said about us. And we sort of carried each other through. We held on to each other's friendship to get through it, despite all of these obstacles that we faced. And it hasn't been easy because, let's face it, we're a strong-willed bunch of people. We're difficult personalities. And we can all be difficult to love at times. Or understand. And we had to overcome struggles in our own lives and with each other. So when I saw what Mizmor 113:9 said, I thought about it late into the night and all of the implications. And what it tells me is that Leah made it. I've made it. I'm going to make it. We're all making it, but particularly this barren woman, this Yisrael, that we all care so deeply about, she makes it, despite all the trauma, all the pain, all the hurt that she has endured, she makes it. And this passage describes people who are being lifted up out of a dung heap from a very lowly and lonely position in life to an eternal reward and fulfillment beyond what any of us feel we deserve. As a friend and a woman, as a mother, as a covenant soul, I welled up with joy and tears for this barren woman who I not only know in real life, but view her as my sister. You know, I care about her as a person, as an eternal friend, who I will know beyond this mortal physical plane. And to quote my other sister, Jackie, the yim and bikorim indicates that we're all firstborn children. And in that light, the gain of any of us in the family is a collective gain. And so it's appropriate to share in the joy and the success of another covenant family member. I thought of the story of Jacob and his first wife, Leah, who struggled to become a wife and mother, who fought for her right to be loved and earned it. Even to this day, Yisrael ignores Leah as undesirable and glorifies Rachel. Rachel's sons had a terrible legacy that ended in obscurity. Mm-hmm. Ephraim will be no more. And then Yamin has already been lost. But Leah is the mother of Yehuda and five other tribes. I'm from Yehuda, And so my regards for Leah is personal in many ways. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, longed for children, and Yahweh gave them to her at the end of her life. Just as this woman in Mizmor 113 will have her children at the end. I thought of Hannah and what Yahweh did to give her a child and her pain, which is a pain every woman can empathize with, even if we already have children. I care about these women. I care about Leah. And I empathize, even if I haven't walked in those shoes myself, having five children of my own. So in a sense, this song speaks to the struggle of the woman, the people of Israel, and their barrenness with Yahweh, as they have struggled against him. It's a song of joy, for it's he who has endured, who ultimately engages with God in this progression, so as to no longer be barren, no longer hated, no longer alone. You know, on a personal note, these are struggles I've watched my friend endure. And to see her symbolized here as an example of a woman in a less than desirable position in this life, but elevated so wonderfully in the next, it gives us all hope that it's not just her whose joy will be realized. This is a lesson for all of us. Leah makes it. We can make it. Yisrael makes it. Yahweh cares about us as individuals. When you have approached him through his covenant family. And so this isn't just a song about Leah, my friend, here and now, but the Leah she will become, the people we will all be. We only have 88 weeks left until Shavuah to help as many people find Yahweh as we can. And I think about the infighting between covenant family, which has caused so much pain for us as we are all journeying towards the same end goal. And in this light, Leah's presence or implication in this Mizmor is a beacon of hope, joy, and delight to me because I chose well to support her, despite all the naysayers and despite all the reasons not to. We all chose well to support her. We chose well to support this family, to support Yada, to support Doa and Yahweh. And despite the difficulties it presents, we chose well, and that's worth celebrating. So it's personal now, but it's also about the big picture. All of us here chose well, and we're looking forward to such a wonderful future together, and we have all suffered. I know that there's people on this team and this family that have taken hits that felt personal, but this is about more than us. So sharing this little piece of my heart, which was intended as a private song for a friend, accomplishes bringing together a sense of family and belonging. Pardon me.
Well, your words speak beautifully through the song. And when I had heard the pain that you and Leah had endured from those who opined that they were covenant and thought that it was appropriate to disparage two individuals who are really essential to this message, two individuals who were spoken of by Dod and Yahweh in the Psalms that we have just reviewed, it became essential to share this song. And I see this song as an expression of everything I have worked for over the last 23 years. This is what the covenant should be. This is the covenant as I know it. This is what Yahweh wants. It's what he expects. It's what he deserves. It is a beautiful song of love.
Thanks.
I'll play it.
Good news, you've forsaken hopelessness, A crown settles on the neck of the world, and the barren woman's sadness sings as eternal life shines on her now. My lovely friend, she dream again. Since my mother passed down for an eternity, we two alone would not suffice. So may there many be. But I know soon she'll fly away from her sorrows like a swallow. Your journey and my journey brought us together for these nights. And to know it is forever, to see it written in the pages, makes my soul overflow with joy, for I'll know the time is changing.
That was absolutely stunning. Beautiful song. I'm touched. I'm Leia, the subject of this song. Beautiful melody, gorgeous lyrics. Dee, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I've spent the past few days fumbling around in the tour, as I usually do, and bumped into Mizmor 114.9. 110 began about Dode. It was beautiful, encouraging, uplifting. Just beautiful wording. Curiosity, of course, took me to 111 and then 112. And things began to shift. I noticed it was talking about Yada. Now, we all know who he is by now. While reading further into the page, the ninth verse hit me like a Mack truck. The barren woman, a car who kept house for him. A man, Yahweh says, just above that verse, who he's going to set as a prince among his own people. What a thing. I nearly fell off my chair in uproarious laughter. First of all, it's accurate. While I was a mother, the child was not my own. I had many miscarriages during a previous marriage, and gave up on having children of my own in an unhappy situation. That marriage nearly destroyed me. He poisoned the child I had raised for him against me, and at the same time, those who claimed to be Yahweh's own horribly mishandled me. They tried to bring me low, so I made myself scarce, so that they couldn't see. I kept low, because every time I stuck out my neck, there was a boot there. I kept with me a trusted friendship, one that many were actively against and tried to break apart. You know who you are. I'm not going to give you this platform, because you were wrong then, and you are now. It's that simple. She is my sister. She's my eyes, my ears, and my heart when it comes to the family. And she's pretty much above all women, because she earned my trust, which is an incredibly difficult thing to do. I do not trust lightly. I am Leah. And while we may not be perfect, none of us are, and we have had our disagreements. Even when we call back at each other like a couple of rough female lions, we both still love each other. We love one another, and that will never change.
Mm-hmm.
And real family is about ups and downs, ins and outs, and coming together, being reasonable. And we have that. Many, though, have come at us to take out their pound of flesh. I'm here to say to you now, it stops. No more. That is enough. So what is this all about? It's about all of us. One people, one love, and one Elohim, Yahweh. There is one door to this material realm, and that is Dod, our King. However, we must strive to work together, not tearing one another down, and certainly not kicking one down while they're already on the floor. It's inappropriate. It's time we focus on our objectives. Yisrael, our objective. We are leaving behind a video, an auditory, and a written legacy for those who will be very pressed, oppressed, and confused.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make this clear for them. The signpost along the way must be clear, rational, and that it must contain the fact that Yah was loving them, and that Dod is the doorway to his home.
Yes.
We know it. We are Yah. But we must pull together the children that are to come along. Just one mikra after our Shabuah. You see, Teruah is Yahweh's gift to us, the family. It's about giving us brothers and sisters. What will you do to ensure that they walk through that door? Will you be a stumbling block for them? Will you bash them over the head with the truth in an unkind way? What will you do? How will you support your brothers and sisters? Now, you can decide for yourself, but you're not free from the consequences of those choices. I personally know that to be true. I intend to bring children home to Yahweh where they belong. What will you do? It was in the King's house where my heart was found its home. It's a place that you can find your home to. It is a place that I will dwell with children. Even with an eunuch and a barren woman, we can have children. That's amazing. Really. But let me tell you what will happen. If you help me in this endeavor to birth forth our brothers and our sisters in this covenant, in Yahweh's home, on those very doorstep, it will get tiring. You will be mocked. You will be shamed. You will be humiliated. You will be hated. You will be abused. You will be forgotten. Your mother and your father will abandon you. However, Yahweh will take you in, and he will count your tears in his book. So again, will you help me? The barren woman. It's not a flattering thing, but I intend on having children. When I arrived at Mishmor 113.9, I laughed until I cried. Firstly, for those who know me, I have a peculiar sense of humor. And that was a car. That was funny. And it's very specific. A barren woman keeping house for this crag. Craig? Wow. She can't get any better. But the sense of accuracy in her statement is twofold. Yes, I'm the barren woman, but I'm also a stand-in for the woman who keeps birthing stillborn children. You need to reach her. Yisrael, Yehuda, those who struggle as I did, those who endure as I have, and those who Yahweh has tested. Boy, did he. Boy, did he touch me. It was then that I remember my good friend Dee's dream. I thought it was crazy. She told me, I was over a dream that I would have children. I'm like, girl, to my chagrin, I told her that was completely illogical. I am a barren woman, and I will never be that woman. I'm not having children. No. As it would turn out, she was right, and I was not. Hallelujah. These children will be born on Teruah, and these will be our brothers and sisters. They will be young and fresh in the way. The Nachar will be placed as a prince among Yahweh's own people. So how does a eunuch and a barren woman have a whole bunch of children?
That
answer,
is the riddle.
Answer Teruah. What we do every day. All this I derive as crumbs. Dote Mizmor 110 through 116 are all you need to satiate yourself. It's all there in Yahweh's Torah. If you desire, eat from his table, drink from his wine, enjoy the fruits of our collective labor. One does not build a house alone. And remember, above all, to call on the name Yahweh in the presence of his people in Jerusalem. Speak softly to Jerusalem, for she is his bride. Those who are Yahweh's children. And Yahweh has some right to claim them as her own. She's got a little right in that. She has a right to be joyful and elated for what is to come, as do all of you who loyally and ethically contribute to the work that we do to make this happen. You are really the unsung heroes and heroines of the whole song. And I will sing to you on that day when we were all together with our people as one with our King Dode. A family. That is the only reason we are here. What's yours? And with that, I want to tell you, there's more to being family than just calling yourself such. This is a lesson in what it is to be part of home and family, We have highs, we have lows, we have a responsibility to those who come after us. And yes, mm-hmm. we have house rules. However, we also have a higher purpose that must be handled with the utmost care and concern. We must be ethical. We must be moral. We must be fair, collaborative, and judgmental when presenting Yahweh to his people. They are traumatized children. Bashing them will only prove them right, that all glory are evil. Time I hear of Jew bashing in the name of Yahweh ever happening on social media again, I will personally block you from viewing our work. Count on it. That is not what we were here to do. For all those who claimed that I was evil incarnate, and that I would corrupt the Nekar, and that my friend was bonkers for trusting me, this is more of the receipt I bring to the table. Where's yours? To those who stand with us? To those who stand with us, thank you for all that you do and calling Dallas people home. I see you. I hear you. And you're all in my heart. And in Dallas love and in the care of the creator of the universe, so welcome home. And with that, I'm going to relinquish the mic to my husband, the man you know as Yada. And I will bid you Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, thank you, Dee. Thank you, Leah, for sharing all of that. I had a letter that I wrote early this morning based upon my desire to share this song and to make a program of it to try to help everyone understand that we need to work together as a family, and that this expression of family is the ideal that we should all seek. I'm not going to read that letter to you this evening. I will think about it over the weekend, and my hope is that just as this song is now posted on both the Yada Yawa YouTube channel, as well as on the Rumble channel for Yada Yawa, I think that it's probably best to post the reasons I wanted this song shared with you this evening, and the reason I wanted to be able to present the translations of the Mizmor that led to it, that we make it available via the social media sites that point people in the direction of the song so they know why we chose to share something that was both public and personal. So with that, this has been an extemporaneous show based upon a wonderful song. Now have a favorite. I have shared with my friend and sister Dee that it is my view that Dode now has a challenger, and that we'll have a song fest during Sukkah, and we will enjoy not only hearing from Dode, but also from Dee. And Dode's going to have to up his game. The person who would be the most proud is Dode. So for me to say that he now has a challenger, I don't think there'd be anything that would bring more joy to his heart than to know that he has not only a family who is expressing what he represents, what he has done for his people, and his deep appreciation and love for Yahweh and for Israel, but who's able to put that love and appreciation in a song. He was, after all, the greatest songwriter in all of history. Mm-hmm. So with that, let's say good night. Thank you very much. It's been a fun show to be able to do this. Lots of tears, that led to this moment. But it's been a great honor and pleasure to be able to share the joy of a wonderful song that was comprised for God's people. Good night.
Night, y'all.
Night, church. Night, Bella. Night, Yada.
Good night.
We wear our work, day by day, stitch by stitch. At Dickies, we believe work is what we're made of. So, whether you're gearing up for a new project, or looking to add some tried and true workwear to your collection, remember that Dickies has been standing the test of time for a reason. The workwear isn't just about looking good, it's about performing under pressure and lasting through the toughest jobs. Head over to Dickies.com. And use the promo code WORKWEAR20 at checkout to save 20% on your purchase. It's the perfect time to experience the quality and reliability that has made Dickies a trusted name for over a century. We wear our work, day by day, stitch by stitch. At Dickies, we believe work is what we're made of. So, whether you're gearing up for a new project, or looking to add some tried and true workwear to your collection, remember that Dickies has been standing the test of time for a reason. The workwear isn't just about looking good. It's about performing under pressure and lasting through the toughest jobs. Head over to Dickies.com and use the promo code WORKWEAR20 at checkout to save 20% on your purchase. It's the perfect time to experience the quality and reliability that has made Dickies a trusted name for over a century.